Hey there, audio listener. I don't know if you can hear the squeaking, but I came into the studio this morning and they had set up balloons and party favors. It's the 1,000th episode. That's more of a you thing than a me thing. Thank you guys so much. Mug Club is the only thing that has allowed us to go 1,000 episodes. And if you aren't a member yet, I encourage you to join. If you don't want to, that's okay. We still want you around. Just leave a review, whether you're on Apple, whether you're on Spotify, whether you're on Android. Leave a rating, review, commenting on 1,000 episodes, what you like most about the show. Sincerely. Thank you for being here, and maybe there'll be 1,000 more if I don't, find myself at the end of a shotgun with a toe trigger before then. Glad to be with you. And of course, you should be terrified today because the right-wing guineas are coming. The right-wing guineas are coming.
Doesn't roll off the tongue.
I've been watching CNN this morning, in case you guys haven't noted. Today, obviously, Italy just had a shift in their government. If you look at the voting, and it's reflective of a large swing that we see across Europe. I wonder why that could be. We'll get into that. Are they far right-wing? Are they the mutated offspring of Mussolini, who, by the way, was a socialist up until the day he died? No, not exactly. We'll talk about that. We'll get into the segment we talked about last week. Gerald and I mentioned this, the excess deaths in Europe. We didn't do it last week because we have to be really careful, because you cannot suggest
right.
why young, able-bodied people are dying in record numbers. We have a hunch. Now, we'll also be talking about the Alex Jones trial. If you've been watching that, and a recap, and how the left has kind of attacked him. And it's not the way that you would think they are going to be attacking Alex Jones. It's always an attack on authenticity, on legitimacy. Don't buy into it. So my question to you before we move on here today is, why do you think that so many European countries have decided to swing, quote unquote, radical right wing, extreme right wing? And by that, we mean, you know, they would be like George Will Republicans when you're talking about the political mainstream spectrum.
Yeah.
Dave is not in today, just so you know. The procedure went well with a family member, but there's some follow-up that needs to be done. So he should be in, I believe, Wednesday.
Yep.
And we're going to have an extra episode Friday of Life Advice for you here on the Mug Club. But, as always, we have Gerald A. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, look, 1,000th episode. I think we should maybe celebrate
all
a
right.
little bit.
Oh,
woo! Good. Yeah, baby! All right!
I don't like...
I think we should do more of it. Like, you know, maybe share our favorite stories.
I don't like
you know, maybe from all of
Tool
the
Man,
episodes.
You can show this to Joe
just,
Lewis is going nuts.
He's just
Joe
not,
Lewis. That's you know what? Hold on a second. I'm gonna
not happy.
All right.
No.
While
I'm doing this, you can,
but
Joe Lewis, you can leave. All right.
When I first met Steven,
guys, I'm gay.
No, that was not the insinuation there. No, but I mean, it'd be great if we went around the room and everybody shared their favorite story about, you know, maybe.
Oh, it's so self-congratulatory when people do this in their 1,000th episode.
Well, you didn't even know.
I didn't know. To be fair, I didn't know that this was going on when I came in. I was like, what? We have to do this.
We made the balloons
and
everything.
Someone's been counting?
Yeah.
My favorite memory is when I used to have a mute button for Gerald. I don't know why I got rid of that.
I got rid of that. What are you talking about?
So 1,000 episodes. I've been going back to 2009, back when I was the OG grifter.
I'm surprised they haven't shot you yet.
So in Dave's place, we have Craw Daddy, is how Dave calls him. Pops Crowder, how are you, sir?
Good. I remember that poorly framed bed sheet.
Yes.
Poorly.
I know it drives Tim crazy to look up the upper left corner and say, he didn't even frame that right.
No, I did not. That was back before we even had digital. I used a Super 8. Now, David,
I'm running back in front of the camera after hitting the button.
David and I are going to be on tour. Of course, you can go to lightofcottage.com/tour. November 12th, we added a show in Nashville, November 12th at 9:30 show, and then Baltimore, December 3rd. Those are the only two shows with tickets left. Okay. Thank you, 1,000th episode, blah, blah, blah. You can, you know what, hit a like button,
come
share
on.
If you can. It helps with the algorithm. Comment below what your favorite memory or your favorite aspect of the show is. And I'm sure some of you will argue with other people about which aspect you like and how they're wrong, because that's how it works on the internet.
You didn't even ask me what mine was. It's when you got when you got waterboarded.
Oh, yeah.
As Nancy Pelosi or as Steven?
No, as Steven. It was worse.
Yeah, by Tim Kennedy. Ben Shapiro was there. He turned into a meme for 2 weeks because his reaction. He didn't realize. Ben Shapiro did not know that I was actually going to be waterboarded.
No, a close second was when the coffee beans were put into the concave chest you used to have that had to have surgery to fix it.
We had no idea that it was a genetic anomaly that was causing serious irreparable damage to my heart.
Yeah. That's why it's second.
And Tim Kennedy said it was the longest waterboarding outside of the military he'd ever witnessed. He went on Rogan and said you tapped out or something.
In like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. It's like, why would you say something that's verifiably false all the time? So let's move on to this here. Okay. I guess there was an interaction with, and this is going to bring us into a conversation about trigger warning, rape. Hmm. Because I have opinions. To be clear, I'm anti it.
Anti.
Yes. It being rape.
Correct.
I'm against the raping.
We think it's...
But here's an entitled woman, but I also don't always buy it. Like, believe all women? I believe some women, and there are some that I don't. Call me old-fashioned. Here's a woman in Walmart who cut in line and then, of course, goes to the psychotic rape card.
I can't calm down. I can't be fucking touched.
I didn't touch you, man.
I was raped not that long ago, and I can't stand another man touching me.
Allegedly.
Well, no one did that.
No one did that.
Is this a prank?
Did the rapist run through a Weird Al lookalike convention?
I need to leave. No. I still got. Okay. She threw some of my stuff.
That's because she was raped, you jerk.
She wasn't sorry when she cut in line. To make it. Oh, I just asked her if she saw anyone in line.
Just go.
That's an adult.
Just leave.
Oh my gosh.
Loud noises!
You know, there's some kid there who heard the scream and he thought he passed by like one of those Halloween sensors at the display. He's like, why is he not doing it anymore? Like a skeleton.
Oh my gosh.
They're making it worse! I picture a man and I remove all reason and accountability. That's what an adult does. You make your problems everybody else's problems, including strangers.
Surprised she was wearing a mask.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Not at all. Tip off, blue hair, mask, backpack. Totally sane.
Look.
Kids backpack.
Look.
Yes, kids backpack.
Can we all agree that rape is bad?
Yes.
I missed last month's meeting. Are we still? We're still against
The patriarchy meeting. That's right. You do need to pay your dues. Yeah. Also, we don't even like boobs and butts. We just hit the screw, screw with them.
With people.
Just these unrealistic beauty standards. We change them every week. So, look, we're all against the rape, okay? Just to be clear. So, what I'm about to say is not an apologist for the rapist, mm-mm, like that man at Walmart. Right. Clearly guilty of rape.
Of course.
As she insinuated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, understanding that rape is primarily... a crime of, I don't know, you're going to say it's a crime of power. Okay, get it, whatever. It's primarily a crime of wanting to have sex with someone who doesn't want to have sex with you, and so you have sex with them anyway. Wouldn't it stand to reason that the victims of rape would usually, not always, generally be those who are most desirable sexually, considering the crime?
Maybe like the fives to tens.
I mean, like you don't carjack a 98 Oldsmobile.
No.
And this, and it's always ladies like that who are claiming they're raped. I've searched, and I could be wrong about this. Mm-hmm. There are many, right? How many times have I been to a change my mind? It's always a blue-haired, would-be lesbian feminist who claim they're raped. As far as I know, not one Victoria's Secret model has been raped.
And they have wings.
Not one?
What are the odds?
Maybe they were going to be Victoria's Secret model, and then...
That's exactly it.
And then the blue hair.
Until someone lightly brushed their arm at Walmart.
Yeah.
And they gained 300 pounds because of it?
Yep.
That's yes. Right. That's
it's it. Just, I'm just saying, it's always, and it's always a rape that's completely unverifiable.
Right, yeah.
And it's always used, for example, to justify cutting in line.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you're just playing the odds game, you would think that, like, if rapist's horrible, but if I'm a rapist, and again, I'm not a rapist, I'm anti-rape, but if you've crossed over, you've crossed that threshold, you say, you know what, I don't care, I'm going to be a felon, I'm going to inflict violence upon a woman, I'm going to have sex with a woman who doesn't want to have sex with me back, so now the barrier to entry is removed, the woman doesn't want to have sex with you back, wouldn't you pick the one you most want to have sex with?
It stands to reason.
You'd think there'd be like, you know, they'd like monitor someone like a Kate Upton, find out when her laundry day is, jump in the hamper. And instead, apparently they're in the express lane at Walmart looking for blue-haired or Weird Al lookalikes.
Or Lena Dunham.
Yes.
That kind.
Yeah. Well, that's also regretful sex. There's a difference between rape and regretful sex. Like Lena Dunham said, I regretted this. And there's a difference between rape and sexual assault.
Yeah.
Well, or a difference between rape and sexual harassment.
Yeah.
There are grades of this. And you know what? We've really just lumped it all in. And here we are now, where a woman like this feels comfortable saying, I was raped, therefore I should have 19 grace items in the 12-item checkout lane.
Nope. I've never heard rape used as like you said, an excuse for cutting in line. It seems like you kind of went a little far there.
Maybe I have.
I'm in a hurry or something like that.
Oh, I've heard it. But it happened to me.
This? No.
It happened to me.
How?
At the Piggly Wiggly. I was like, hey, you have 19 items in the checkout lane. And she said, rape, what are you going to do? I was like, well, what are you going to do?
She gets a pass for all those trans fats in her basket.
What do rape victims do with self-checkout?
That's what this was. This was self-checkout and she cut it that.
All right.
It was self-checkout, wasn't it?
Yeah. Self-checkout. Yeah. What was she yelling at? She was yelling at the checkout machine? No, she was yelling at the guy who was mad that she couldn't line. My point is this. If I have to bet my bottom dollar, she probably wasn't. No. Sorry. I'm getting in my earpiece before breaking news. In breaking news, it appears Carrie Lake has just officially become governor of Arizona.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that Carrie Lake is not elected.
Well, congratulations on that endorsement, Carrie.
All but guarantee she'll win.
Does Liz Cheney think... Yes. Is she delusional? Does she think that people are like, well, I was going to vote for Carrie Lake, but Liz Cheney said I shouldn't.
I couldn't get over 100,000 people to vote for me in my home state.
It's like Joe Biden saying, if you vote for Trump, you're bad. And people are like, oh, well, that settles it. Thanks for setting me straight. Why does does Liz Cheney actually comment? You know, I would love to hear from the Liz Cheney fan, if you're watching.
There isn't.
You know
does
who you are.
Anyone?
She's planning a run, they say.
In the president, yeah, please do. I want so I don't necessarily want Donald Trump to run unless he's, you know, all in, but if he is there and she is there, oh, that will be.
Oh my word.
Just catnip.
She won't even get a word in. She'll be like, "And Halliburton. Oh, Halliburton. Where were you with Halliburton? Look, she doesn't want to talk about Halliburton, frankly. Why don't you want to talk about Halliburton, Liz?"
It would just be epic.
She's a man.
I feel like even if he doesn't run every year, he should be in the primary just to make sure the field is strong.
Yeah, you know just put him in the debate.
If you can make it through him.
Yes, it's like it's a culling.
Yeah. He's the weighted vest for
he
all
is.
The
other candidates. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, whereas running against her, that's like using a corked bat, for crying out loud. I can't think of anyone easier. All right, so this is one thing. I don't know if you've been watching the Alex Jones trial. I didn't know that when we did the Ash Wednesday last Wednesday, that was the start of the Connecticut trial.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, we had to pre-tape the Ash Wednesday the day before. Sometimes we have to do that because of the way we set up the cameras, and often if we want good guests, they can't come in live. So I've been following it, and here's the thing. First off, there is a railroading that's taking place. If you look at the prosecuting attorneys, they've been very clear that this is not about Alex Jones. It's about silencing anyone else who may have opinions like Alex Jones. Or a platform like Alex Jones. And to be clear, I don't agree with Alex Jones on everything. I agree with him more now than I used to. I just didn't like it when people tucked tail and abandoned him when he was deplatformed, so we had him on immediately, and I still feel that way. It's just a compulsion. But if you have not been watching the trial, I want to get to the clip, a recap. Here's the theme. Alex Jones is exactly what you would picture him to be.
Yeah.
I've spent a good amount of time with him. And on the stand, he just cannot... help himself. It's very endearing.
You put a target on his back just like you did every single parent and loved one sitting here.
No, I didn't.
These are real people. You know that, Mr. Jones?
I think you just told me to move on.
Just like all the Iraqis, but you liberals kill and love. It's just, you're unbelievable. You switch on emotions on and off when you want. It's just ambulance chasing. This is a struggle session. Are we in China? American governors should like being blamed for this. as the left did. So we rejected it.
Watch the final clip where he's finally trying to get in line.
I legitimately thought it might have been staged, and I stand by that, and I don't apologize for it.
And don't apologize, Mr. Jones. Please don't apologize.
No, I've already apologized to the parents over
because
and over again.
Because we know you're
I don't apologize to you.
Objection.
Don't apologize to you.
Because there's going to be another Robbie Parker.
Watch this.
Objection, Judge.
No.
Sustained. Sustained.
Parkland was fake. I didn't say Uvalde was. And no, okay, so that's a fact.
What did you say about Aurora? Objection.
Before this?
What did you say about
I believe it was a real shooting, but he was in a mind control program, just like Theodore Kaczynski. Sorry.
The judge goes, oh, I'm sorry, are you objecting to your client's response?
The objection is sustained. He doesn't have to answer it.
Right.
He's like, I believe it was a real shooting, but he was a part of a government mind control.
MK Ultra.
He could not stop it.
Frogs are gay.
It looks, it's so earnest, like a child. The judge is like, Alex, sorry. And here's the thing with Alex Jones, too. The most egregious attack that they've used is not that, oh, okay, he's awful, he's extremist. What they try and say is he's not genuine, right? You've heard them say, well, his defense attorney said that none of it was real. It was all an act. No, 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 that's not true. What they tried to say was that things being taken out of context on a show, sometimes they are performative.
Right.
I will tell you this. Okay, Alex Jones is a flawed person. Alex Jones has made mistakes. He talked about that on the show. Alex Jones has made some wrong calls. Alex Jones, off air, is exactly what you would expect him to be, to the point that when he's here, he's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to assign
in a good way.
Yes, in a good way.
He's well, look, it's really true. It's great what you've done with the studio. What's this costume here? Is that you know, if you want me to do a sketch, I can come back and do it anytime you want. Anytime you want.
Is that Balrog? I love Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Was that? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I was a Balrog guy. Really, he only has punches, so you wish he had some kicks. But yeah, sometimes he's blanket. But if you use the electricity, it's just one of those things. Once you find out how to do a low kick, beats it. Sorry.
Exactly. Spot.
I have 3-minute voicemails from Alex Jones. About nothing.
He sends voice memos.
Yes.
So he hopes they expire.
Yeah.
So no one can retrieve them at Discovery.
He'll send one. I don't answer. And then he'll send one arguing with his previous one.
They're like, hey, Stephen, I want you to, you know, I hear you might be riding through Austin here. I don't know if you're in a change of mind. So I would like you to come by the studio.
I don't respond. It's like, but I mean like 6 minutes. I'm just like,
hey, it's, I just don't know why you're not coming by the studio. You know, I thought that we kind of agreed on this.
So I'll defend him with I can't defend him on every single issue as though he's right. Yeah. Nobody ever is. But the attacks that he's not a genuine person, that's what they always try and do. Oh, you don't really mean it. You're projecting is another attack that they use. Remember the child pornography they tried to claim on his hard drive? That was the FBI.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the FBI. I don't remember the exact story. They were the ones who had the child, and they sent it from some kind of an InfoWars address. Alex Jones never once downloaded child pornography, never distributed it. That's why he sued the Young Turks when they made those claims. And then he stopped once they stopped making the claims, because he said that was accusing me knowingly, deliberately of a felony. Not being wrong about thinking that something is staged. Do we have to go through this? This is remedial, right? You can say things and be wrong, and that's protected. You can't deliberately lie about somebody by name to try and cause irreparable harm, especially accusing them of a felony. One is completely protected. One falls under libel or slander, depending if it's spoken, uttered, or if it's written. It's very clear. We have laws for this.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to make an example of him. I mean, they even said it. They don't want any more Alex Jones types coming up. I'm like, well, define that. You don't want people to make claims that turn out to be true later on that we were like, we didn't believe
it. Can you pause really quickly? Yeah. Apparently a Tim Burton Helena Bonham Carter character is on CNN.
Oh, dear Lord.
What is this with CNN? Bringing up
women and men now get successful, like in a large number to...
All right, that's Sweeney Todd's assistant. Okay. Sorry. Finish your thought on Alex Jones.
No, I mean, they're trying to bankrupt him and trying to keep anybody else from trying to follow in his footsteps at all.
Right.
Right? No matter what you're... I mean, they could do the same thing to you. They could do the same thing to anybody that they don't like
could?
Their opinion.
How long have I been demonetized now?
Been doing that. Well, no, I mean, that's step one, right? Step two is deplatforming, and step three is saying, hey, even though you're deplatformed now and you have your own thing set up, we're going to sue you into oblivion.
Right.
Now you're going to have to pay legal fees and be tied up forever and also pay these ridiculous what was the judgment against him?
Well, yeah, but it didn't matter. I mean, I think the maximum penalty was like 5 minutes.
I know, but 5 million. But yeah, but the
or, sorry, 5 minutes.
Clear.
Five million.
What do you have? 5 minutes without
speaking? I was just looking at the CNN clock.
I had
minutes
sorry.
On the brain. All right. By the way, this is a live show Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. While we're talking about being demonetized, while we're talking about being throttled and shadow banned on YouTube, the best place, go to Mug Club, LatterWithCutter.com/Mug Club. It's what's kept us going for 1,000 episodes. We do a full, double the show every day, Monday through Thursday. Otherwise, you can watch for free here on YouTube, or of course Rumble. Nothing would thrill me more greatly than for you all to give YouTube the boot and go to Rumble, but I can't force you to. So I give the choice to you.
Yeah, Rumble went public last week, by the way.
Did they?
Yeah, their stock symbol is awesome. Rum.
Perfect.
Let's see what they did there. Yeah, that's a great way to set up a company. A dad pun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they had the pirate flag too, so that was cool.
Oh, good for them. Rapists?
No, not really. Everyone was willing on the
pirate. Someone, by the way, commented last week when we were talking about Sea Beast and the black lady pirates, and I was saying that she clearly wouldn't have been a pirate because she would have been immediately raped. Uh-huh. Someone said, like, well, actually, you know, you got that wrong. A good portion of pirates were black. It's like, that wasn't the point I was making. I said it was a woman. Of course I know pirates are black. I saw Captain Phillips. That's why we have the Marines. Leathernecks, because we had to deal with Islamic pirates. Like, no, my point wasn't that the pirate was black. My point was that the pirate had tits.
I'm retarded.
All right. Speaking of retarded, the way people are covering Italy. Have you been seeing this? The shrieking?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it, Crawdaddy, this morning on CNN? Yes. Like, oh, far right wing. And I want to get through the truth versus their claims here, okay? Because I think it's important. Because, look, you don't want to be caught flat-footed if you're supporting someone who, let's say, is an actual, I don't know, ethno-nationalist. Don't worry. That's not what's happening. It's totally fine. You can totally be happy that Italy has decided to reject globalist liberalism. Now, and let me know if you've been following this. If you're in Italy right now and you know you're still alive, you can just comment below and let us know what you've been experiencing there. So Giorgia Meloni and the party is the Brothers of Italy party, and there's a right-wing coalition. They won. Okay, Sunday's Italian elections, just to be clear. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you see this right away from the media. And this is their playbook. Their claim is right away, this is a far-right fascist new government.
Meloni is young, she's well-spoken, she's charismatic, and politically she's very far to the right. She's widely expected to be the next prime minister of this country.
Many of her fans can't get enough of her straight talk. It doesn't seem to bother anyone here that many people in Meloni's party are supporters of former dictator Benito Mussolini, or that the flame on his tomb is her party's symbol.
Giorgia Meloni has gone from little sister status among fellow right-wing leaders to now owning them, on her way to becoming the first female prime minister of Italy and the head of the most right-wing government.
Someone give her haircut the Taco Bell gong.
World War II.
What this victory means is this will be the first time since the end of World War II and the fall of fascism that Italy has been led by such a far right-leaning coalition government.
Okay. What?
Did you hear the reporter say that some of her supporters were actually supporters of Mussolini?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Can people do math in life? Mussolini was dead, I don't know exactly what year, but at least 1945.
There might be a couple of people, of course, who are still around when Mussolini was around.
But were two and politically active?
Exactly. That's my point. They were.
I don't understand.
The indoctrination starts young.
They're 79 now or something? I have no idea. That's the most ridiculous.
They're all on ventilators.
Yeah, no, COVID took them out.
Do you have any idea how many toddler Pol Pot enthusiasts there are?
I have no idea. I didn't know it was a thing.
Milton Bradley. Now, The Atlantic put this succinctly. They said, Meloni would also represent continuity with Italy's darkest episode, the interwar dictatorship of Benito Mussolini. Rawr. Okay, brief history lesson. The fascist party was banned in Italy after World War II.
Yeah.
Okay. And the party right now is very, very far removed from the Italian social movement, which is a, by the way, successor to the fascist party. Now, Meloni, just to be clear, these are her own words. I don't know if we have a clip or we have a quote. I think we have a quote here. Oh, yeah. Where she's rejected fascism, and she's already addressed this. This is the playbook, right? They did it with Donald Trump. I haven't heard the reality check guy on CNN talking this and relating it to Donald Trump, and then relating Putin to Donald Trump. So,
That's a reality check.
What?
It's gangster style. It's
so,
sideways.
This is what she said, Meloni. What is this? This says, saying the Italian right, she was saying this about the Italian right, handed fascism over to history for decades now, and quote, unambiguously, she condemns the suppression of democracy and ignominious anti-Jewish laws.
Ignominious.
Ignominious, whatever. I don't give a shit.
You're Canadian-ish.
That's honestly, I'm not going to tell you, that's a word that I really haven't used very many times.
No.
So here's the thing. First off, Mussolini was a socialist. Was a socialist up until the day he died. So I'll get to that in a second. But if this party is synonymous with fascism, right, they're trying to say because this was the precursor to Mussolini.
Yeah.
okay, the last time, since it was outlawed, a post-World War II, right, the last time you would have had anyone who has any roots in fascism or Mussolini, you'd be talking about the 40s, 50s, right, depending when you're looking at people. Maybe there was some, when it was an underground fascist railroad.
Right, yeah.
But if this is the party of fascism, because you have to go that far back, right, through the annals of history, see, I made up for it by using another word.
Nice job.
Then, by comparison, the current Democratic Party is the party of slavery, the party of segregation, the party of internment camps. Because they were still pro those things. Well, fascism was outlawed in Italy.
Yeah.
In other words, things change. Now, of course, the party swap is a myth. We've talked about that. That's not really true. When people try and point to Strom Thurmond, they don't really understand the historical context. But my point is this. Democrats back then in that same period of time were against integration. They still believed in segregated drinking fountains, segregated, you're talking about, they oppose a Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
So at what point do we say, well, look, I don't like Democrats today, but they aren't trying to, you know, chase black people down with German shepherds because they're trying to have a slice of pie up at the counter.
Yeah. Well, and so this is, like you said, just like Donald Trump, where he said there's very fine people on both sides. And right before that said white nationalists are condemned totally. Anybody in that? She's making the same kind of claim like, hey, I'm not saying there's fine people on both sides. She's saying that I'm condemning that. That is something that we've left in the past. Fascism is gone.
Right.
Right. I believe in none of that. And what I do believe in is freedom. They're changing freedom, individual freedom and liberty into fascism.
Well, and here's the thing. The only reason that fascism is seen as right wing is because they try to change the definition. If you go and Google it right now, it says that fascism is inherently right wing. So they try and say, so therefore, Hitler is right wing. Mussolini is right wing. Pol Pot is right wing. Mao is basically right wing. The only way I don't understand how people have gotten away with this. Fascism can't function unless the government is bigger and more important than its people. Right. That requires big government. So certainly not as you would relate it to the American right wing. Now, here's a fact for you. Do we have a stinger for it or no? Yeah, hit the
I don't.
Okay. All right. So there's a claim that Mussolini was a fascist. Mussolini was right wing. Here's the truth. That's the claim. Hit the truth.
It's a live show.
There you go.
Yeah. So before forming the fascist party, Mussolini was a devout socialist. And by the way, he was still a socialist. So this is actually what he said after being a fascist. Here's a quote. Everything in this, well, let me read it like Mussolini. Everything in the state, nothing outside of the state, nothing against the state.
It was like a Jewish Mussolini.
Does that sound like Donald Trump? Does that sound like Ronald Reagan? And while we're being clear, talking about Americans as fascists, what they've tried to do in CNN and Titan, can you point me to one single, ever, and this is genuine, I'd like for you to comment below, one single fascist government that supported more open free speech, as conservatives and Donald Trump did, and more people having access to firearms? Name me one, ever. It's not possible.
No.
Okay.
She needs to flip the narrative on them. And we need to do this fast, like Trump did with fake news.
Yeah, right.
It's got to be done because it's really clear and easy to prove.
Yeah, it's incredibly easy to prove. And by the way, this is also part of a big trend in Europe. This is why they're afraid of it, right? So right-wing leadership, they made huge gains. We have what's just happened in Italy. You had what just happened in Sweden. You have Spain. You have France. You have Le Pen. You have Hungary. So this is also what's interesting is, Italy was one of those countries we were watching, in case you don't remember.
Yeah.
Early on in COVID, they have one of the oldest populations in Europe. If not number one, they're top three, I remember. And so they had some of the strictest lockdown measures.
Immediately.
In Italy.
Yeah.
So they have a very high death rate still, Italy. They have overall, if you're looking at the deaths per million, and they had incredible lockdown. So it's very clear to the Italian people, hey, all right, we've had to decide between freedom or, security. They've lived through it. We've had incredible lockdowns. And we've also had a high death rate. In other words, if they were to say, well, you know what, we should have done more because the death rate is too high, you would see very quickly right now an embrace of liberalism. You would see an embrace of globalism. You would see an embrace of authoritarian government, of lockdowns. And instead, everywhere it's been on the ballot, there has been a rejection of it. This is a rejection across Europe, and you're seeing it in the United States, a rejection of the pandemic measures that were implemented and would have been far more severe here if the Democratic Party had its way. Do not miss the macro picture. You are seeing this sweep across Europe. And in your own personal life, I'm sure that you know many, 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 many people who were pro-lockdown, who were pro-whatever it was, mask mandate, vaccine, all of it, until they finally had something affect them. They said, you know what? Okay, we went too far.
Yeah.
There's a rejection of this. This is an example of that. It is a rejection of what Italy did during COVID, despite the fact they say we have a high death rate. We still think we shouldn't have locked down. That's what this vote says.
Yeah. And people are saying, look, freedom is worth it, right? It's okay. Sometimes we're going to have to face things that maybe can cause us harm. but freedom is worth it. Otherwise, you have the government central planning. And the thing that led up to this, and you and I discussed this last week, was all of the uncontrolled immigration that they allowed in. Italy was one of the main focal points of all of that, from North Africa, people coming from North Africa up through Italy. And Italy was being overrun. They could not financially handle it. And so they started sending people up into the rest of Europe. And that's when the rest of Europe was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, our populations, they're not coming here and assimilating and learning the language and trying to be a part of our community. They're coming here and living as their own little community that hates our country.
Right.
That's what we can't allow to have happen. And that's what started happening in Sweden, started happening in Hungary, UK right now. They're talking about it all the time. France just,
and then it didn't take much for them to connect the dots and say the people who want to change the fabric of our country are also the people who know that they can do that if they lock us down and basically mass import migrants.
Exactly. So, and then COVID hit, and this was like the last straw. You're just seeing people go, nope, I'm sorry, the government, we are not allowing the government to be in charge of everything anymore.
Well, to give you some context, pre-pandemic, Maloney's party, they only won 4% of the vote. This is back in 2018, I believe.
It's not that long ago.
So think of that as a huge shift.
Who's a 4% candidate right now? Liz Cheney. It'd be like if Liz Cheney won the presidential
I think you're being generous.
Right? In whatever, 2028?
Maybe that's like Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson. Yeah.
There's at least 4% pothead.
No, it's like, hold on, better, Kamala Harris. That is as though Kamala Harris won the presidency.
But Kamala Harris got less than 4% in the primaries, so actually I think you're being still far too generous. Still but I, the principle is the same.
But you're going to see more of this nationalism over there because they are a people. We're not. We're an idea. So the melting pot works here. We want that. We want people from everywhere, from every culture.
Well, what's funny is they're trying to...
Their cultures have been diluted, and they hate that. They've lost their way in Sweden and in Italy and France. They're no longer a people.
Well, that's why it also makes them nervous, their nationalism, because it's tied more to a race as opposed to the United States. Mm-hmm. Nationalism is tied to the ideas of the United States. And I get it. They're going to say that most, of course, people who settle this country are going to talk about largely white Western Europeans. I get it. I understand it. But my point is, the Italians view themselves as a people. If you don't believe it, ask them about the Moors. They have a sore spot about that. The Greeks view themselves as a people. The Swedes view themselves as a people. The Germans view themselves as a people. In the United States, we view ourselves collectively as a people who subscribe to these ideas as a nation. Mm-hmm. Now, they still shriek about nationalism in the United States. But in Europe, they go, ooh, we've been here before, because nationalism, let's be honest, it's come with some good and some bad historically with Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same thing as being proud of your country and not wanting to be beholden to other countries' values that don't align with yours. We all were raised with this when we were kids. We are the world, right? This idea that the whole world, we're all the same. No, we're not. We're not all the same. And you don't believe we're all the same because there was there were the Allies and there was the axis of evil. In other words, at some point, we all draw a line and say, well, you know what? There's a reason for borders. The borders signify us not having mutually aligned interests or values. And you're just seeing that more clearly defined in Europe right now, especially with the EU and people wanting to leave because they feel like they're being held hostage. And that's a perfectly reasonable response for the people of Italy. So, by the way, Maloney's entire platform, you're going back to 2018, 4%. Of course, COVID is the catalyst for it. But the whole platform is not based around fascism. It's not based around racism. It's based around freedom. It's based around faith and family. Here, listening for yourself.
E questa è la ragione per la quale... Questa è la ragione per la quale oggi noi facciamo tanta paura. Questa è la ragione per la quale oggi questo appuntamento fa tanta paura. Perché noi non vogliamo essere dei numeri. Noi siamo qui per dire che noi non siamo dei numeri. Noi difenderemo il valore della persona umana, di ogni singola persona umana, perché ognuno di noi ha un codice genetico unico e irripetibile. E questo piaccia o no, ha del sacro. Lo difenderemo.
For those listening on audio, she's talking about abortion. She's talking about the sanctity of life.
Lo faremo per difendere la nostra libertà, perché noi non saremo mai schiavi e semplici consumatori in balia della speculazione finanziaria. Ecco la nostra missione, ecco perché oggi sono venuta qui. Scriveva Chesterton ormai più di un secolo fa, vediamo se ve lo trovo. Fuochi verranno attizzati per dimostrare che 2 + 2 = 4. Spade verranno sguainate per dimostrare che le foglie sono verdi in estate. Quel tempo è arrivato, signori. Siamo pronti. Grazie.
Yes, all those fascists who are anti-eugenics and quote Chesterton.
Right. She stuck the landing there, didn't she?
She did.
Boy.
She nailed it. She was talking about not being made into a number.
Right.
She's like, I'm not just a consumer for speculators to make money off of and these big corporations. I am a mom. I'm a Christian. I'm an Italian. Like, there are things that make me who I am, and you can't strip those things away. And her Chesterton quote, I think we have an overlay for that Chesterton quote. It nailed it. So great Christian thinker, obviously. So there's a lot of pastors right now that are retweeting it. This thing. She said, fires will be kindled to testify that two and two make four. Swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in summer. And he's talking about flipping reality. You'll have to fight people to show them that the leaves are green in summer. It's like an obvious thing is true, right?
Right.
So what are we dealing with right now in American society and in the world? Everything is right has become wrong, like you said, right? Everything is flipped around, and it's like, why would you ever have to fight that? He predicted that.
Well, what's funny is he meant it allegorically, like, you know, two and two equals four. He didn't actually think that we would be teaching that two and two may not equal four, which is what we actually teach in classrooms now.
Yeah, tell us what you think.
It could be 22.
If you show the work.
Right. Everyone would say, well, Chesterton, that's a little bit extreme. He's like, it's allegorical, you silly bitch.
Yeah. But
only now it's literal.
Yeah.
She's no Rashida Tlaib, but she's easy on the eyes.
Right. No, you're right. She's not a terrorist.
And the accent. Come on now.
She's
I don't know.
Better looking than the CNN anchors, I'll tell you that.
Well, all of them.
Yeah. I don't know when that Italian genetics bomb drops, because, you know, it's like, it just seems it's almost like you turn, you're beautiful, beautiful, and you turn into one of the clumps. Just boom, boom.
One day to the next. It's, yeah.
It's like either they are a beautiful, stunning woman or a house.
It's like carbs with, catch up.
How
with you
often? How often have you ever seen a pretty like 50-year-old Asian like woman?
Okay. Never. Nobody.
You see, they look as though they're 20 or 99.
It's true. It happens.
How old was Swalwell's spy?
I don't think he asked.
Which one? I assume he had a squadron of Chinese spies. This guy, by the way, is still darkening the halls of our elected representatives.
Yeah,
Eric Swalwell was sexing a Chinese spy.
Yeah.
Can I don't know how that's like not subverting democracy.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my question to you as well. Notice while they talk about fascism, because fascism, of course, if you go and watch the Change My Minds, and all the references are available at loudoutcutter.com, they always tie it in with the patriarchy, right? Because patriarchists are fascists, or fascists are patriarchists. You notice that a huge portion of them are women? Hmm. You have Maloney, you have Le Pen, people like Carrie Lake. You notice there's a disproportional number of fascist women out there, apparently.
Well, representation matters.
Oh, and here's something the Atlantic tries to cut this off at the pass. We were reading this morning. It offers this. It says, Maloney is comparable to Le Pen in other ways. Both are examples of what political scientists call gender washing, when female politicians adopt a non-threatening image to blunt the force of their extremism.
By being women? They don't adopt that. They are that.
It's science.
Adopt. By the way, how is that not sexist? Adopt a non-threatening image. You've always said that the idea of a demure, submissive woman, right? That's sexist. And you're trying to say they're adopting. I didn't see anything there non-threatening. I didn't see anything there fascist. I saw it incredibly threatening, which is why you have to invent terms like gender washing. You completely pompous pricks. This is where they are. It's gender washing. They try and cut it off at the pass. It's actually, no, hold on a second. Your opinion is actual violence. Okay, well, I guess I just won't say it. Well, actually, no, wait. Silence is violence. Well, I don't, okay. You know what? You're racist. Well, you know what? Actually, I believe that all people are created equal. Well, that's just colorblindness. That's another form of racism. Hey, you're part of the patriarchy. Well, hold on a second. This is a woman who actually, well, no, actually, you're just gender washing. This is what they do. They cannot argue in the form of ideas. So they say, right-wing extremist. Well, what's her right-wing extremism? She believes in the sanctity of life. She believes freedom. She believes that you should be able to make your own choices. She's a part of the patriarchy. Well, hold on a second. This is a strong woman who, no, gender washing. Who's a stronger woman? Let me ask you this. Carrie Lake? Well, we're talking about the new, I can never get her name right. Maloney. I was about to say Marioni, Maloney, which is slightly racist on my part. Ethnocentric. Maloney, Carrie Lake, or that girl who just claimed she was raped at Walmart when a guy lightly grazed her forearm hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the bitch.
Notice that, again, it's always the women claiming, I am a strong, independent woman, who are the weakest among us. It happens all the time. I've, throughout my life, been exclusively attracted to strong women. I don't know that you can find a strong woman on the left, because they don't believe that they have control over their own destiny. And I won't get into predeterminism versus, you know, occasionally, all that stuff. But you understand what I'm saying. The idea of making your own choices and being responsible for your own decisions. I see it exclusively. I don't know how you can be a strong woman, man, anything on today's left. I realize it's an inherently weak position. That's why you also think of them as weak and wimpy, because it is.
What's the name of her party over there? What does it translate to? The Fratelli? Is it Brothers?
The brothers of, I don't know.
So she's blunting
brothers
that,
right wing.
She's blunting that male aggression there in the
with the name.
Should be the Z in party. The,
yeah.
Well, let me see. It is the. I'll make sure I have this name right. It is the Brothers of Italy party.
Yeah. Brothers of Italy,
and she heads it up.
Okay. Just to be clear,
but I think it's interesting.
She's one of those self-loathing,
yeah.
representatives of the brothers.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. When we went into the show today, CNN had a segment on about her, right? And they'll go back to it, and they'll just keep going. And it was, I think, it said ultra right wing, elected, prime minister, blah blah blah, right? So it's this ultra right wing thing. Every single time somebody comes on and says, I believe in freedom. I believe that it's fine to be a Christian. It's fine to be a believer. It's fine to believe in family, because that's one of the things she said, right? I'm a mother. I have a family. It's fine to be an Italian, right? And to say, I want Italy. I want Italians to do well. Like, they're saying that is ultra right wing ideology.
Yeah.
Wouldn't no matter which party you aligned with, wouldn't you be fine saying that? Shouldn't you be? Shouldn't that be the thing?
No, and this is the problem. If you watch everyone? It, Nancy Pelosi was just booed when she was talking about, a global community. And here's the thing. When you say, I want Italians to do well, I will grant you this. That means that somewhere down the chain, probably someone else is not going to do as well. That's the nature of the world. If the United States is doing well, if our citizens are being taken care of, that means there probably isn't as much money left over for, I don't know, NATO, UN. I'm okay with it. But there's a difference between saying I want to exploit others, for personal gain at the expense of others, versus saying, look, we need to prioritize our people. We are a nation. This is something too. If you look at the history books, all of human history has been incredibly, you are at a point in history right now that has never existed, ever. Look, people being mad at Russia because of violence. That was the nature of the world. You wouldn't have seen people. You think Genghis Khan would have looked at another empire and said, I'm mad at them because they're violent. They have no right to their land. That's imperialism. No, of course not. You wouldn't have the Ottomans, the Turks, the Romans, tribes right now in Africa. Violence has been the law of the land forever. And now we exist in a time where that isn't the case, and people think that this has always been the case. And they want to copy-paste to you, wait, you want your nation to do well? There's that little chip in their brain that thinks that must be done at the expense of others. Raping resources, whatever it is, ethno-environmentalism, where they try to target marginalized frontline communities, whatever bullshit term they want to make up that day. Oh, it just means that you want your people to do well first. Anyone out there, you don't feel that way about your family?
Right.
When you say, I want what's good for my family, are you talking about abusing somebody else? No, but there's an opportunity that must be missed for someone else if, let's say, you get a good job. That means that opportunity is no longer available for someone else. You compete for it. Why? Because you want to feed your family. Nations are the same, and it's okay. It's a good thing. Maybe if we had clearer borders, maybe if they had clearer borders at that Walmart, that little rubber baton, that woman wouldn't have accused that she was raped. I don't know.
And they need to do better, too. Can you think of an Italian contribution?
Recently? No. Yeah. Of course, if you're going back, throughout history, but no.
I mean, they've been resting on their laurels for
that's right.
While.
Yeah, they
it's
really
a country
have.
Of leisure, and so, people go there for the Vatican.
Yeah,
we have one she wants to change tower. That. She wants to make them relevant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's wrong with that?
No, that's a good point. Hey, by the way, while we move on here, before we move on to the next segment, which is completely unrelated to what I'm about to show you, do you remember the promises that you were all made regarding the vaccines initially and the efficacy rates?
Thank you.
Now, remember that that's a foreshadowing for something that we'll play later, completely unrelated. Now.
Completely unrelated.
Completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, have you been on this segment, have you been vaccinated yourself? And if you have or you haven't, have you gotten COVID? I have not been vaccinated. I've had the COVID.
I've had COVID at least once and not been vaccinated.
Yep. And I was fine. Yeah. I know that's anecdotal, but everyone in our family at one point had it. Wasn't fun. No one's saying it's fun. Both things can be true. Weren't vaccinated, had COVID, wasn't as bad as a flu that I've had. Just anecdotally, okay? Just to be clear. And I think that you should be able to make the choice for yourself. Like, if you agree with that, that helps with the algorithm. Now, on a completely unrelated note, as we mentioned, excess deaths in Europe reached a plus 16% in July. That means they've gone up 16% when you're talking about year over year. June, it went up 7%. May, it went up 7%. And then this summer in the UK alone, they saw 21,475 excess deaths. Now, we're going to get into the claims as to why this is the case. Just to be clear, only 12,000 of those approximately mentioned COVID on the death certificate. So I think we need to get into what is most likely to be the claims. If you haven't read about this story, it should be one of the biggest stories across the world right now. I mean, for crying out loud, when people were dying of anything for 2 years, we were told that it was COVID. There was a ticker on CNN. Notice there's no ticker anymore.
No ticker, yeah.
So excess deaths, what are the causes of it? Okay, let me first, and then I'll let Gerald, because I know he wants to sink his teeth into this here. Here's the claim that they will initiate. The most lazy claim, and it's the most easily refutable, is that most of these excess deaths, or all of these excess deaths, are somehow attributable to COVID or COVID-related effects. What's the truth, Gerald?
The truth is that it doesn't mean that it's actually a death from COVID, right? So it could be a byproduct of something that happens with COVID, like infection, like heart disease, right? So lockdown-related health conditions, like poor mental health. Who could have possibly foreseen that people's mental health would be impacted by being locked down and not able to go out and interact with
people? Do you mean every single doctor who expressed concern about it and then was labeled a quack?
No, no, other than them, because
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or to those removed guys. From YouTube.
Right.
No, but they didn't have good opinions about that.
Bad diet, lack of activity, lack of social.
Kids gained a lot of weight. My nephews gained like 10 pounds each.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. And then lost
kids were already fat.
And they they lost it immediately, right, when the doors opened again, right? But poor diet. I'm like, well, you're just inside. You don't have to change what you eat.
You shouldn't hit your kid, but you can hit the food out of his palms.
Yes. Well, and also, so think about this. So many people that were sick. Like my dad, for example, people that were sick that needed medical attention that all of a sudden became super afraid to go to the doctor or go to the hospital because they thought, oh my gosh, if I get out, one, I'm getting out, right? I could possibly get COVID. But two, I'm going to a place where people have COVID.
Right.
Right. So they're very scared. So they're not getting the preventative treatment that they need for stuff.
Well, that's exactly the thing. When you look at the list, so again, the laziest people, so watch your YouTube pundits and people on CNN and ABC, NBC. The laziest argument will be these are COVID related. But even the people who are one step further down the trail, they say, well, okay, maybe these aren't necessarily COVID related, but they're related to these auxiliary effects from COVID. And I don't necessarily even mean long-haul COVID, but like you're saying, lockdowns. Like you're saying, people weren't able to get access to medical care because we were overburdened, which wasn't the case. Basically, hospitals weren't taking patients because there was an incentive to especially focus on COVID-related care. And they say this, the left will say these things without, just like a Liz Cheney, there's such a lack of self-awareness. We're going, yes! Yes, this entire time we were saying locking people down indefinitely and decimating the economy. And yes, people not being able to get access to necessary medical care because everything has to be focused on COVID right now, despite many hospitals at varying points in time being empty, having capacity. Yes, but now they say, see, it was COVID related. Thank God we did all of these things that led to these excess deaths.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to Italy, right, when they were doing the lockdowns, do you remember what the WHO said? Lockdowns are not a great idea.
Right.
This was at the very beginning when
I thought you were going to say they said Taiwan who?
I don't want to get us banned again for quoting the WHO. I don't want to go 2 for 2 on this. I'm just saying that's what they said.
Right.
It's not what I said.
Here's the next claim that they'll make because if it doesn't work, the COVID related.
Yeah.
This is one you're actually seeing. It's the fault of a heat wave.
Ah.
And we actually, we actually just got a clip from the WHO's Secretary General. Making the claim about heat waves.
He won't get fooled again. Roll clip.
Yes, he will.
So far, we have broken all-time high in UK. We haven't yet broken
Secretary
all-time
General
high
Catfish.
In Europe. In Sicily, last summer, we had 48.8 degrees. And so far, we haven't been exceeding that number yet. So we expect to see increased deaths among the old and already sick people.
Okay, so here's what's key.
We gave them refrigeration, didn't we?
Also,
they have air conditioning there.
You can admonish me. That was the World Meteorological? Yes, organization, not the WMO.
WMO.
So the retarded.
WMO.
So this is what's important, because they make a claim, and this is the wonder of the left. It must be so nice. Just like, I was raped, she yells in Walmart. And it's like, well, hold on a second. That doesn't excuse your behavior now. But they say, oh, hold on, it's COVID deaths. You say, well, hold on a second. Now it's not. Ah, sorry, did I say COVID? I meant heat wave. But that's not what you just said. Close. And now you just said heat wave. You just heard him say, so we expect to see excess deaths in the elderly, in the infirm, which is, well, that's going to bring us to some other truths here. That's not what we're seeing with the excess deaths. So that's what he said, but also according to an article in The Conversation discussing the deaths in England and Wales, they said heat waves are associated with increased deaths, especially in older and more vulnerable people. Again, older and more vulnerable people. The July heat wave in particular was associated with a marked peak in deaths, both among people with COVID and people without COVID. Well, then why mention COVID? It's completely unrelated. It's like the heat wave was associated with deaths in both men and women. Black and white, yellow, no one knows. Are we back to Johnny Mathis quotes? Just say increased deaths.
Period. You don't need to put COVID in, but COVID tests well.
Right. So here's the truth. Sure, some old people can die from heat. Yes, absolutely, that's true. But more die from cold. Far more old people die from extreme cold, to be clear. So the hottest day in the UK in 2022, it was 104.
104 degrees. Mm. Jeez, that is hot.
That's hot, but people aren't dying in record numbers if they're in a house with air conditioning or in a house with a window fan.
Right.
And certainly not young people. We have 104 all the time in Texas. And by the way, you just need to go back, I don't know, 3 decades. And most people here didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah. That's true.
And it's not old people that we're talking about when we're talking about the excess deaths. You have these numbers, I believe, right here with you. In the UK, younger groups have been showing the excess mortality and, by the way, attributed to non-COVID-related causes, which wouldn't stand to reason if it's a heat wave.
Right. If it's a heat wave, right, we talked about people being older. And so we're going to focus on all the groups below that. Week ending August 19th, in the 0 to 24 range, it was up 17.4%. Excess deaths up 17.4%, 0 to 24. 25 to 49, up 9.8%. 50 to 64, up 20.83%. Those are not people that you would classify as the elderly that are subject. Maybe 64-year-old, okay, fine, whatever. If you've made some really bad life choices, I get it. That's going to be a hard thing. Or if you're infirm. But we're talking about pretty healthy groups that are seeing huge spikes on the back of other spikes in June and July already, right? So this is the weakening in August.
They don't list heat wave, by the way, as a reason for the deaths. Just so you know, this is one of those things. What they want to do is when there's objective, verifiable data. Notice they don't point to the data. They try and point to science when it's convenient. Remember early on with the vaccine, they said 99%. They said one shot is 90-something percent. If you get two shots, it's 99-something percent. And then all the references are available at Louder Crowder. They said, did we say that? We meant 82%. Then once it got lower, they said, you know what? The vaccinated and the unvaccinated can just, you know what? At this point, just do what you want. And you said, well, hold on a second. Why would you say that? Why would you say that when you said it was 99%? It's the same thing here. You can see the cause of death.
Yeah.
And I'm also listing the causes of death where, of course, we know they are overcounting COVID deaths. Even when they're trying to lie to you, they can't. The listed reasons for the causes of death in young people: cerebrovascular disease, heart failure, cancer, respiratory disease, heart disease. Right? These are the. And by the way, while you're about to say heart disease, when they try and say that's COVID related, just to be clear, this is again. You have this in the Journal of Clinical Medicine. This is published. This is peer-reviewed. A 2020 study found that, and they looked at 200,000 patients, and by the way, they found no increase in myocarditis after COVID-19 infection, which, of course, is listed under heart disease and a reason, if you look at the UK, for the excess deaths. None whatsoever, including acute COVID and long-haul COVID. So the idea that COVID itself is responsible for these heart complications, what happened to pointing to the science, to pointing to the data? We have it. We didn't have it when you were speculating. We didn't have it when it was not science. It was still testing a hypothesis in 2020. Now that it's been tested, all of a sudden we don't have a ticker. All of a sudden no one wants to talk about the numbers. We have verified the hypothesis now. Were we correct? Were we not? No one's referencing the numbers, which we now have.
Journal of Clinical Medicine. That's a far right-wing propaganda outlet, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we probably can't. And 200,000 people. They can't possibly follow 200,000.
It's operated out of Jenny McCarthy's den.
Yeah. By the way, when you have those polling numbers that you see up there, that's like 2,000 people, okay, that they've called to give you those numbers to tell you who's going to be your next leader necessarily. 200,000 patients. Myocarditis, that was a big concern for a lot of people. I'm not saying there's any connection with anything. I'm just saying there was a big concern for a lot of people.
The connection was to the vaccine, not to COVID.
Son of a bitch.
I was saying not saying something for a reason, sir. No, but people were worried about the connection here. We're not saying there is.
I swear to you, Pops Crowder, if we get banned for that, I'm taking it out of your allowance. No, that's the whole point. Is people were saying there was an increase in myocarditis. Yeah. And you had people on one side hypothesizing, well, okay, we believe that this could be, our hypothesis is this could be related to the vaccine. And you had other people saying, no, the increase in myocarditis is, it's actually because of the spike protein from COVID.
Right.
Right? So in other words, there was no denying, no side denied. You won't find anyone at the highest levels of medicine denying that there was an increase in cardiovascular complications, namely myocarditis. Everyone acknowledged that. The only argument that was taking place is, well, is that due to the organic nature of the spike protein in COVID itself, or due to an acute, for example, engineering of the spike protein with a vaccine? Now, I'm not giving you a definitive answer. I'm saying that was the argument in the medical community. We don't have all the answers. We do have one answer.
Yeah.
Myocarditis, the chances of being a victim of myocarditis do not increase at all whatsoever due to COVID in and of itself. 200,000 patients monitored over acute COVID infection and long-haul COVID shows you. That's it. It's over. It's done now.
Yeah. And by the way, when that was brought up as a concern, it wasn't like, hey, that's a fair point. Let's look into that and make sure. It was, you're a science denier. You're trying to get people not to take a vaccine because of this, right? So you're one of these right-wing people. That's exactly what the response was. And in the medical community, the response should be every single time we need data.
Right.
This is a concern. We need to make sure that we can rule this out. We have it now. We see it right now. 200,000 patients published.
Well, like you said, the whole world is the test tube now. It's like,
yes,
you know, like every major city that's run by Democrats is a test tube of their ideas. Well, the world is a test tube of COVID now. We've been through it.
Well, you know, and here's one of the things. Data. I'm not going to say, like some people on the right say, well, obviously lockdowns made it worse. No, what I'm saying is the effects were negligible. For example, when you look at the United States and you look at the top states of COVID, sure, you have Mississippi at the top. Okay. Florida is somewhere, I believe, I'm going by rote, 11, 14, and right above it is New Jersey, and not too far below it is New York. Honestly, when this first happened, you can go back to the show, I said, if COVID is affecting the elderly, oh my gosh, it is going to rip through some communities in Florida. I mean, what do you think is going to happen with all the elderly wasps, or, well, I guess, I don't know, in Boynton Beach what it is right now. Could be Cuban, could be Jew. My point is, they're old. What do you think is going to happen at the Boynton Beach shuffleboard court? I was saying, this is tailor-made to take out Florida.
It's like God's waiting room down there.
Exactly.
Do you think those guys are going to stop having sex with each other?
I'm surprised the entire...
It's not going to happen.
The entire state isn't just covered in that butcher paper that you have when you're sitting. And you know what? The truth is, well, it didn't do the best, didn't do the worst, and neither did New Jersey, New York, Michigan. They're all within striking distance of each other.
Yeah.
So was it worth it to completely destroy the economies, as you saw in places like New York, New York City, as you saw in places like Michigan? Was it worth it if you look at economy, for example, when you look at Italy? Again, there are some countries that have done better than others, and there are more variables that go into it. I know, I sound like the person who the left claims to be, where I'm saying there are different variables. It is nuanced depending on the population density. It depends on the demographic of the country. But the point is, we can verifiably say that lockdowns didn't help. I'm not saying they hurt as far as increased the spread, but they did hurt the economy. That's verifiable. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. And they certainly cannot be claimed to have helped slow the spread. So we know that now. So what could, just to be clear, myocarditis, health complications, right? These have contributed to the excess deaths in the UK. And we know that those would not be complications from COVID itself. References available at ladderwithcrowder.com. So what could be the distal cause? The medical term.
Nice job.
Sometimes I use this.
Yeah.
Of these deaths. Well, again, you remember the music before. So in completely and totally unrelated news, here's young, healthy people falling down. Completely unrelated, no conclusions, I have no idea. Please, by the way, 1,000 episodes. Like, share, helps with the algorithm, comment below. We'll be taking some of your best comments here in the next couple days on chat. Your favorite moments, memories, or aspects of the show, because we are definitely looking at 1,000 more. We're going to play Photoshop or not. YouTube, I mean, I know I know we were in some gray territory here for you guys, and by that I mean medically verifiable data. You're not fans. I understand it. Different strokes. So now you can piss off.